New Thinking Aloud is a non-profit endeavor. Your contributions to the New Thinking Aloud Foundation make a meaningful difference in our ability to produce new videos.
Thinking Aloud. Conversations on the leading edge of knowledge and discovery with psychologist Jeffrey Mishlove.
Hello and welcome. I'm Jeffrey Mishlove. Hello and welcome. I'm also Jeffrey Mishlove. And even though I may seem to be a different person, I'm the same Jeffrey Mishlove. We're both Jeffrey Mishlove, identical to each other. However, I do plan to do some programming on the idea of multiple selves, even multiple souls potentially existing within one body. But that's a different topic. Not for today. Today, I want to talk about a series of interweaving connections, a web of serendipity, a web of coincidence, perhaps even a web of synchronicity among a number of programs here on the New Thinking Aloud channel. And to lay it all out, to begin with, go back to the summer of 2022 when I released In Presence 243 about the god Horus. In fact, I'm going to link to that video right now for those of you who are able to read the link and click on it in the upper right-hand corner. You can go right to that particular video, and I'll link to some others as well. In that video, I talk about a series of events I've been aware of since the 1970s, and I even wrote about extensively in my book, The Roots of Consciousness, dealing with a whole host of unusual events surrounding Uri Geller and Andrea Puharich, also involving the archetype of the ancient Egyptian deity Horus, the hawk god. So the significance of Horus sort of underlies all of this. And it's not just Horus, actually, because when we're talking about Andrea Puharich, we have to remember what he called the Nine, the ancient pantheon of Egyptian deities that Puharich himself also associated with UFOs and with the psychokinetic manifestations of Uri Geller. Am I getting ahead of myself a little bit? Perhaps so, because I haven't mentioned what else this network, this nexus of complexity is going to involve. One of the other interviews involved in this nexus was released recently. It's an interview with the Spanish neuroscientist Alex Gomez Marin talking about the Mexican neuroscientist Jacobo Greenberg, who mysteriously disappeared in 1994. Alex points out that Greenberg's career was both one of neuroscience and anthropology. He did extensive study of the shamans of Mexico, and a particular shaman named Pachita, a psychic healer who was like Arrigo in Brazil, the healer studied by Puharich. There we go with Puharich again, who is known as the surgeon with the rusty knife. Well, Pachita was also a surgeon with a rusty knife, and according to Jacobo Greenberg, could also produce apports, objects materializing in thin air. And what Alex Gomez Marin found especially fascinating in the work of Pachita and the work of Greenberg and his study of Pachita is that he began to develop a theoretical model about how the human brain could interface with a causal level, a non-physical causal level outside of space and time, but which could be responsible for producing effects within space and time. And he looked at it from a neurophysiology point of view. In addition, then, to the monologue I did, number 243, 2 years ago, the recent interview with Alex Gomez Marin, there are two interviews with Heidi Yurka. One of those interviews was released about a week before I will be releasing the monologue, in effect, that I'm making right now. And another one is about to be released on Friday. And I'm going to link to both of those interviews right now with Heidi Yorka, because they're significant to this story. Heidi Yorka, as some of you know who have watched the previously released interview with her, was one of Andrea Puharich's space kids. And she talks about that in some detail. And it's a very fascinating story for two reasons. One is a project that Puharich was engaged in with the space kids and with Heidi in particular, known as the Mind Link. This was a very significant to me idea. And it is that there were 24 individuals that he chose for the space kids, and they linked up with a few hundred people around the world with whom Puharich was aware to create the Mind Link. And the essence of the Mind Link was, through some spiritual discipline and meditation, to enter into a state of universal love, of love for everyone and everything all the time, which just happens to be my motto. And the idea was, at a certain date and time, these people would simultaneously generate a vibration of love, a powerful vibration of love that would spread out throughout the planet and help to accelerate human evolution. I like that idea a lot, and I mention it now because I want to encourage our viewers to think along those lines. To the extent that you can feel love for everyone and everything all the time, including the things you dislike, and including love for the fact that you dislike them. I know it's paradoxical, but that's what's required, because we are paradoxical beings. We live in a world of duality, of love and hate, and at the same time, we live in a world of unity, where there is simply unencumbered oneness with everything. And if this world of duality is to get through the crises that we are now facing, where we could be responsible for our own distinction, not distinction, our own extinction, the cure that will save humanity from extinguishing itself is love. And to the extent that viewers of this video and people of good hearts elsewhere in the world can project a vibration of love, I believe, as a parapsychologist, that it will have an impact. Of course, the problems on this planet are so huge. I once said, in fact, in the interview with Heidi Yorka, that if 1 million people were projecting love every moment of every day for the last 50 years, maybe it could shift the whole planet. It's going to take a lot more than a group of 24 people sending out a vibration over 1 hour in 1977. But Heidi believed that it did have an impact then. And I think an ongoing impact is what is needed now. There's more to this nexus, because for regular viewers of the New Thinking Aloud channel, you'll know that along with Emmy Vadnais, my co-host, we prepared a video introducing Tonglen meditation. And Emmy also prepared a separate video on Tonglen meditation, which is a style of meditation where you take into yourself the pain of the world and try and heal that pain and then send it back out as a vibration of love. So it's an idea that we've been working with for some time, and it's an idea I want to nurture and foster and encourage on this channel. This video is being released on Monday of March 4th, 2024. On Wednesday, March 6th, 2024, which is actually would be my mother's 103rd birthday if she were still alive, March 6th, we're releasing a video by Emmy with the medical doctor, Jim Roach. Those of you who have heard the name Jim Roach before may remember that I mentioned it in the introduction to the Tonglen meditation video. It was Jim Roach, in fact, who suggested to me that we might consider Tonglen meditation as a way to address what was on my mind at the time when I spoke to him last September at the International Association of Near-Death Studies conference in the Washington, D.C. area. I said I would like to work with highly evolved people, our viewers, to help address the problem of gun violence. And he said Tonglen meditation could be helpful. So we did that. And I acknowledged him in the video. And Jim Roach is a very interesting physician based in Kentucky. And on Wednesday, March 6th, Emmy's interview with him will be released. Here is the interesting synchronicity or coincidence or serendipity. It may take me a little while to explain it, but bear with me because Jim Roach in that video talks about his connection with a fellow named Jim McCarty, who channels an extraterrestrial entity named Quo. And Jim Roach endorses very highly the work of Jim McCarty, who is part of an organization known as L&L Associates. And, of course, this is all very interesting to me. Quo being an extraterrestrial, Jim Roach is convinced he really is an extraterrestrial and he is being channeled by an 80-year-old man. Well, how does that tie into everything else we've been talking about? I think you'll find this fascinating. We have to go back to the question of this L&L partnership. The L&L partnership included two other people along with Jim McCarty, and their names were Carla Rukert and Don Elkins, and the three of them formed this L&L consortium. And what they are known for primarily in the world is channeling an extraterrestrial entity, not Quo, but Ra. And some of you will have heard of the Ra contact and the Law of One. Of course, Ra is an ancient Egyptian deity. Ra is the ancient Egyptian sun god that was brought into prominence by the Pharaoh Akhenaten, who sort of changed Egyptian religion until he was overthrown. However, the point being here in the Ra channelings, Carla Rukert was the primary channel, and as I recall, Don Elkins and Jim McCarty were sort of the scribes for this work. And they published a wonderful book about it. Here's the interesting thing. Andrea Puharich was involved. Puharich seems to show up everywhere. And of course, being that he channeled these entities, he didn't channel them. He worked with channels who channeled the nine, the Egyptian pantheon of gods who are also involved in UFO activities. Well, so was Ra. And so Puharich sought these people out, and they developed a close relationship. Now, the Law of One is basically the same premise that I've described earlier as my own motto, love everyone and everything all the time. And you will find online, on YouTube and elsewhere on the internet, a lot of material on the Law of One. There are many people who take it very seriously, and some go so far as to suggest that if you want to enter into higher spiritual states, states beyond this earthly realm of space and time and life and death and good and evil and duality, then you want to rise up to a state where you realize that you are one with, or at least entangled with, everything, everyone and everything, past, present, and future. It's all there. It's in you because your very essence, the very seed of your consciousness is an eternal, infinite spirit. And that ultimately is the saving grace of humanity in our human existence. Here's the fascinating synchronicity that I call it a synchronicity. Other people may call it a coincidence. Heidi Yerka, whose two interviews, one was released a week before this one, and another one will be released next Friday, knew Carla Rueckert and Don Elkins. She knew them intimately. She knew them personally because of their association with Andrea Puharich and her association with Andrea Puharich. And for example, in the interview already released, Heidi talks about being in Puharich's house in August 1978 when it was set on fire by arsonists. And she was asleep in her bedroom up on the third floor of that house when who should wake her up yelling at her but Don Elkins, who was outside. He had gone out for breakfast and mysteriously had an impulse to return back to the house suddenly from his breakfast instead of doing other shopping while he was out and about. And he came back and the house was on fire and he was out in the front lawn and he yelled at the top of his voice for Heidi to wake up and jump out the window because the house was on fire. And that's exactly what she did do. Now, the next part of the coincidence or synchronicities is this, and it will be released in Friday's interview, the second interview with Heidi Yerka, in which she reports on a trip she took, a four-month journey to Mexico, where she and Andrea Puharich studied the remarkable miracle healer named Pachita, the very same Pachita who was studied by Jacobo Grinberg, who was really the essential person in Grinberg's theorizing about how the human brain interacts with the causal level, the non-physical causal level of reality. And Heidi will talk about how one of the main reasons that they went to Mexico was because Carla Rueckert, the Ra channeler, was ill. She had kidney disease. In fact, she was going to need a new kidney. She was seriously ill. And very often people who came to see this Mexican peasant woman for healing were desperate. And that's why they went there and all the way from Kentucky in Carla Rueckert's case. So Carla Rueckert is in Mexico with Andrea Puharich and Heidi Yerka visiting the healer Pachita. And Pachita says to her, you're going to need a new kidney and we'll have to procure that from a cadaver, which we can do in Mexico. And she arranged for that. And she reported, and this is in Heidi Yerka's book, in detail, The Making of a Psychic, Puharich went into the healing session with Carla Rueckert, the channeler of the entity known as Ra. And Puharich described how Pachita, the miracle healer, took this cadaver kidney with her knife and sliced it in half and handed each of the two halves to Puharich, and he held one in each hand. And then she took her knife and she made some incisions into the back of Carla Rueckert. And of course, we're not talking about the kind of surgeries that take place in a hospital under sterile conditions. There was no effort to make sure this knife was sterile. And Puharich is holding these kidneys above Rueckert's naked back where two small incisions had been made. And he describes, this is his language, as reported by Heidi Yerka, the kidney halves were each sucked out of his hands into her body. and the wounds began to close up. And then Carla was wrapped in a white sheet and sent back out into the waiting room where other patients were also, after their surgeries with Pachita, wrapped in white sheets and laying down. They looked like corpses, as Heidi describes it, because her job was then to care for Carla after that psychic surgery had been performed. And Carla was in some discomfort, as you might imagine, from such a bizarre experience. Let me interlude now that one of the reasons that I'm bringing up these synchronistic coincidences or the way things interrelate is not to say that it makes me in any way special or important that I'm aware of synchronicities, just the opposite. However, we should study them for the lessons they may contain. And one of the lessons that I see here is that events which seem so bizarre as to be unbelievable should not be dismissed out of hand. We should take a look at our own belief systems. They seem unbelievable to us because we hold to certain views about the world, about reality, about the universe that suggest to us that these events are not believable. They are not possible. And I think we would all do well to be a little more open-minded concerning what is and what is not possible. We don't have to automatically reject these things out of hand. Heidi Yurka, for example, tells me in the interview that will be released on Friday about this experience with Pachita in Mexico that she had the occasion to contact Carla Rueckert some 20 years after that surgery, which was in the 1970s. So we're now in the 1990s. And she asked Carla, who she hadn't seen for a long time, how she was. And she said, well, I'm sick. I have cancer, as I recall. Carla did die of cancer. But she said, I haven't had any kidney problems since that surgery. So whatever happened, as bizarre as it seems, the kidneys being sucked out of Puharich's hands into her body, seemed to have worked. Unbelievable as it may seem. So there's that connection. There's the law of one connection, which goes back to Carla Rueckert. There is the mysterious hawk synchronicities that have occurred, as I reported in the In Presence monologue number 243. There were personal experiences that I have had with the hawk, and I haven't even reported all of the hawk coincidences. There are more that I kept to myself. So we live, I would say, in a matrix. I did a wonderful interview years ago with Jude Kuravan in which she talked about Indra's web, a kind of holographic matrix that connects everything in the universe. And it's like a gigantic spider web. And in each of the intersections where the netting of the web comes together, there are jewels. And each jewel is a diamond, and a diamond of wisdom. So we're tapping in to some of those diamonds of wisdom. And I'm delighted to be able to share them with you today. I guess the other ultimate message here is the law of one. Not only to accept the unbelievable, but to accept that it's possible, at least for moments, that we can achieve a state of consciousness where we love everyone and everything, and that that love is eternal. It is everlasting. It is permanent. It is always there, like the cosmic microwave background radiation from the Big Bang. It just permeates everything. It's ultimately who we are at our deepest level. And to the extent that we can align our personalities, our day-to-day life with that pervasive sense of love for everyone and everything, my belief is we may be able to save the human race from this headlong journey we seem to be on toward our own extinction. So thank you very much for being with me. Indeed, thank you. Because you are the reason that we are here. I imagine that by now, many of you already realize that, in conjunction with White Crow Books, we've just launched the new Thinking Aloud Dialogues book imprint, and our first title is There Life After Death? New Thinking Aloud is a nonprofit endeavor. Your contributions to the New Thinking Aloud Foundation make a meaningful difference in our ability to produce new videos.